This podcast is brought to you by the Islamic Center and NYU. For more information, visit our website at www.icnyu.org.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين. والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وآل محمد. قال الله العظيم في محكم كتابه الكريم والقول كالحق والأصدق القائلين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نون والقلم وما يسطرون ما أنت بنعمة ربك بمجنون وإن لك لأجرا غير ممنون وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم أمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم. Again, this is part two of our commentary on chapter 68 of the whole of Quran, Surah Al-Qalam, a Meccan chapter, at least the majority of it, according to commentators of the whole of Quran. And a blessed chapter, of course, where last week we began to talk a little bit in regards to verses 1 and 2. But the majority of our time we spent in reflecting upon the merits and the importance of reflecting and contemplating and reading the whole of Quran. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do not contemplate upon this Quran, or is there a lock on your heart? Or the prophetic complaint, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ مَهْجُورًا. That, O my Lord, as the Messenger of God, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam states, or will state on the Day of Judgment, surely my community has neglected the Holy Quran. The idea is that during the course of our reading of it, our recitation of it, every day when we build this relationship with it, we'll find unique beauty in it. But it takes time, of course. It takes time like anything else. It takes time like eating a healthy diet or exercising regularly. You need to get used to it. You need to allow for the heart toward building a sense of receptivity to it. إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُلُوبْ أَوْئِيَا فَخَيْرُهَا أَوْعَاهَا. In the words of Imam Ali alayhi salam, he tells his companion Kumail ibn Ziyad that, O Kumail, surely these hearts are receptive, and the best of hearts are the most receptive ones. And it's important that we cultivate these hearts toward being receptive toward the teachings, toward the divine revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the teachings and the words and the ahadith of the Prophet and his family, peace and blessings be upon them. The idea is that, and we see this within the whole of Quran as a sort of a common theme, right? Many times God mentions the heart. And when he mentions the heart, we're again talking about the spiritual vessel, of course, not the physical organ that we have, but rather the spiritual vessel that has the opportunity to see, that has the opportunity to go beyond the surface of things. Of course, not the sight of the heart, but sort of a insight, an understanding, a recognition of the reality of all things. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. God says many hearts are ill, they're sick. They don't have that ability to look up at the sky and see see the clouds and the blue and the sun and the moon and the stars. It doesn't take them toward thinking about God. But the heart that does, that's the successful heart. The heart that has that care and that compassion and that desire of altruism, of generosity, of care and compassion for others. That's the heart that's been, you know, cultivated toward being receptive toward the values and the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God is the all-merciful. He is the all-just. It's important for us to illuminate those qualities within the human sort of potential that He subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal has given us the ability to do so. So again, he states, Ya Kumail, inna habihi al-qulub aw'iya fakhayruha aw'aha. That surely these hearts are receptive, and the best of them are the most receptive ones. Illa man atallaha biqalbin salim. And God speaks toward this reality as well within the whole Quran when he talks about the successful ones on the Day of Judgment. They are those who approach God with a healthy heart. Before we gave the dichotomy of the ill heart, فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ. فزادهم الله مرضا. And on the flip side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents some hearts as hearts that have been cleansed, hearts that are healthy. Again, we're not talking about the physical organ, but again, that heart that has gone through a little bit of rigor, right? Has gone through a little bit of effort in its training. Similarly, again, the physical organ, when you exercise, you do some cardiovascular workout, for instance, you run, you ride a bicycle, your heart rate increases. That increasing of your heart rate is good. It's good every so often. You need it physically. Similarly, spiritually, you need to be cultivated. And it's difficult physically in the same way that it's difficult metaphysically. It needs to be woken up by obstacles and trials and tribulations and the visitation to the graveyards, remembering death and our own mortality. It's important. We need to be woken up to these things once in a while. They're good reminders. They're good reminders when we go through the trials and tribulations of life, because we see the temporal nature of things. When we always expect toward receiving and accumulating and getting more and more and more, and our minds are only on consumption, we will never find a sense of true satisfaction, because true and ultimate and absolute and perfect and entire absolute satisfaction, of course, is in God's remembrance. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَتْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. That surely by this remembrance of God do these hearts find rest. Anyhow, I say all of this as an introduction toward us understanding the nature of the human being, the nature of the human being, the nature of this heart of ours, because again, that is the tool, that is the vessel that has the potential toward being perfected, toward being purified, so that we're able to find a sense of peace, so that we're able to find a sense of tranquility, so we're able to find a sense of contentment during the course of our lives. And one of those steps, one of those ways in which we purify these hearts, in one of these ways in which we cultivate these hearts, is by opening up this book. And again, I recognize and I realize that it's difficult and it's challenging many a time. But like anything else, through effort and through focus and through diligence, we'll see that these hearts will be softened. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will invite us and guide us via His ayat, via His signs, via His words. But that requires for us again to spend time with it and to contemplate upon it and see the beauty beyond it. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. God begins in chapter 68 of the Quran. Noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun. We talked very briefly about this verse last week. Noon, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins with one letter within the Arabic language, huruf munqata'a. And these ayat and these verses, these introductions many a times towards specific chapters of the whole Quran are meant not necessarily for us, but they're meant for us to understand that we don't have knowledge over all things. And there's many different interpretations toward these verses. I'm, of course, just sharing one of them. And one of those is that noon, that alif lam mim, that alif lam ra, that kaf ha ya ain sad, that many a time starts off particular chapters of the whole Quran, is meant to shed just a little bit of light into the fact that we need to be in a state of obedience to the Messenger of God, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we don't know everything. So in that early period, they would go to the Prophet and they would ask him what it means. Again, because it was the traditional style of taking knowledge toward going toward a spiritual teacher. And that teacher of that early Muslim community is the Prophet of God, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And at the same time, we should not restrict ourselves from also taking knowledge from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. By reading the books of ahadith, by reading the books of tradition, understanding that again, he is the utter and the absolute reservoir of knowledge, along with his immaculate family, the Ahlul Bayt. Peace and everlasting blessings be upon them. Noon wal qalami wama yasturun. By the pen and what it writes. And of course, you mentioned last week that the pen is symbolic of the beginning of all creation, according to some commentators of the whole Quran. Wama yasturun, and what they write, which some of the exegetes would state that the pen began to write on something known as Lawhul Mahfuz, the guarded tablet, the protected tablet, that which is within the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as God commands some of His closest angels, those who are known as the Kiram al-Katibin, to write down anything and everything that which took place before in the past, that's what's taking place now, that which is going to take place, everything in terms of all knowledge that has ever been manifested in the world. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dictates the angels to note that and to write that down. Without getting into so much sort of discussion in regards to the nature of the pen or the nature of where the pen writes, the guarded tablet, if we accept sort of this particular commentary of verse number one, what's important to note is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing by them. He's swearing by the pen, and he's swearing by that which the pen writes on, or by those who utilize this pen to write meanings. وَالْقَلَمِ وَمَا يَسْطُرُونَ, that many a times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by certain things in order to demonstrate their significance, but at the same time, in addition to that, the significance of that which he's going to state, in order to sort of put it in a little bit of perspective. That if I say, I swear by my mother, I'm demonstrating to the one that I'm speaking to the importance and the significance of my mother, obviously. But what's even more important is what I'm going to say after that. For instance, I swear by my mother that I am hungry, for instance. So not only am I swearing by an object or an entity or an individual that it holds a sense of significance, but in addition to that, what I really want to prove to the listener is the fact that I am hungry, meaning statement number two. So we swear and then we state that sort of, that statement, that testimony that you want to demonstrate to the listener. So when we read verse number one, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the pen and swears by that which they write, as he mentions within this particular chapter of the Holy Quran, the idea is not only to read it alone, but to understand what is it that God wants to demonstrate to us. Swearing by something, and we could see that there's a significance to that which he's swearing by, but what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in verse number two? He states, "Ma anta bini'mati rabbika bimajnun," that you, O Messenger Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, by the blessing of your Lord, are not insane. I've not gone crazy. Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by these things in order to make this statement very clear? I mentioned to you all last week, for those of you who participated in part one of our commentary or our reflection on Surah Al-Qalam, chapter 68 of the Holy Quran, that of course the early period of the prophetic legacy, when the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in the holy city of Mecca, he had to endure the hardships and the tribulations and deal with the whole host of these pagans who had this sort of incessant animosity against the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were awfully difficult with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where it was difficult for him to stand and pray without them throwing objects at him, throwing trash, without them insulting him and insulting his family. To the extent where Fatimah al-Zahra, his daughter, many a time would come and literally wipe feces and blood off of her father when she was only a child. Where the Prophet ﷺ would return back toward his wife Khadija, peace and blessings be upon her, and utilize her as a tool whereby he could speak about his hardships, and when no one else believed, she listened. The difficulty that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to endure during those early days, you know, in life sometimes we need some words of consolation, and we need some words of validation from those who are closest to us. But sometimes we can't even find that. And the Prophet alaihi wasallam, we know that he only had a handful of supporters, amongst them of course Khadija, amongst them of course Ali, amongst them of course his daughter Fatima, peace and blessings be upon. And amongst them, you know, these close confidants and companions. But then over here, he receives the greatest validation. He receives the greatest words of support. And that's from Allah Azza wa Jal. مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةَ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ, that by the blessing of your Lord, don't listen to what it is they have to say. Because the greatest and sort of the most common, you know, insult that the Prophet ﷺ would receive is that هذا رجل المجنون. That this man has gone crazy. Because again, he was speaking toward a reality. He was speaking toward a truth that was so void from their hearts. Not that it was void from the community, of course. People in the Arabian Peninsula, they had heard the tales, they had heard the stories, they had heard the anecdotes of Ibrahim and of Musa and of Isa. And they were foretold of the coming of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at least from their forefathers, from those who were believers, those who had that sense of conviction. But at the same time, they didn't want to believe again because their hearts, we go back to that point. إِنَّ هَذَهَا الْقُلُوبُ أَوْئِيَا فَخَيْرُهَا أَوْعَاهَا. Their hearts didn't want to be receptive because of the love of this world. They felt a threat from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because they felt that he was going to take away their power, he was going to take away their authority, he was going to take away their status, he was going to take away their wealth. And for people, many a times, when it comes toward aspects of morality and virtue, of course they're going to, you know, create this value-based system where they see money and power and authority as far greater than values, than goodness, than beauty, than compassion, than justice, than truth. That's exactly what the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was preaching. They don't want to have anything to do with it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He offers these words of consolation, virtually in our language, to demonstrate that God has the back of the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bimajnun. By your Lord's blessing. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala insist? And He states that, again, for those of you who are following chapter 68, verse number 2, ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bimajnun. You are not by your Lord's blessing crazy. Or you have not gone insane by your Lord's blessing. Why does God sort of state that the reason why you are on the right is because of God's blessing? Because again, at the same time that He's speaking to the Prophet ﷺ, He wants us to also be reminded. One of the ways that we often begin our praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before giving a sermon, before giving a khutbah, for instance, it's recommended to state, Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihada. When you go and you visit the Holy Kaaba, for instance, city of Mecca, the days of Hajj are approaching, one of the recommended supplications when you enter into the Holy Mosque is you state, Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihada wa ma kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. That all thanks and all praise is due to God who has guided us to this. You say the same thing when you go and you visit the mausoleums and the shrines of the Prophet and his family, peace and blessing would be upon them. All thanks and all praise is due to God who has guided us to this. And if He had not guided us to this, we would be nowhere. This is not all out of the blessing of God. Again, the fact that our hearts have that ability to see these things, the fact that our hearts have the ability to be receptive to all of these things, and this is all out of the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah alladhi arrafani nafsahu wa lam yatrukni amyan al-qalb. In a hadith or in a dua that Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam would often make, he states, all thanks be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah alladhi arrafani nafsahu, who has given me the ability to know Him. You've exposed our hearts to Your light, O Allah. Wa lam yatrukni amyan al-qalb. You didn't leave this heart blind. Again, this sort of focus on the human heart, you know, as a spiritual vessel, his ability to know, his inability to perceive, his inability to see all things. And the idea that during the course of life, we're consistently reaping and drowning ourselves in the blessing and the mercy and the compassion and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we're able to once again see and find that sense of clarity by God's blessing. Ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bimajnun. Going back to the first verse, we can read them together. Noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun. Remember, God is swearing by the pen and the tablet and that which it writes. Ma anta bi ni'mati rabbika bimajnun. That I swear by these two things that, O Messenger, you have not gone insane. And what do we see? That oath and that testimony of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that testimony of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in these two verses, or a story, or as a proof that continuously demonstrates itself till this very day. Where how many people are exposed to the light of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, generation after generation. People know the name of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course, not only do they not think that he's insane, but we believe for him to be the most perfect manifestation of perfection, of mercy, of justice, of compassion, of love, of beauty, everything within our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِنَّكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. God continues and he states, and your reward indeed will be an everlasting reward. What does it mean when we state that the Prophet of God sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he receives a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that runs in perpetuity. غَيْرَ مَمْنُون غَيْرَ مَقْتُوع. In Arabic language, it will never be stopped. It's something that will run in perpetuity. It keeps on giving. It keeps on coming. You keep on receiving blessings, O Messenger, because of his effort, because of his focus, because of his diligence, because of his sincerity. And again, just to, as a quick side note, and perhaps we talk about this more next week as we'll get into verse number 4 next week, inshallah, that you can't divorce the Messenger of God, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the religion of Islam. A lot of people, they think that, you know, when we talk about the Prophet, they see him as a messenger, and they define messenger in the same way that they define the messenger who brings a package to your home. The individual who brings the package to your home, the man, the woman, they bring the package and they deliver it and they leave, but they don't necessarily know what's in that package. And a lot of people, they see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is exactly the same way, when in reality, that's so far away from the truth. In reality, what it is that the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, when he gives that message, he also knows the reality and the truth behind that message. He is the message in and of itself. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَإِنَّكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. That this gift, that this reward that the Prophet والسلام, he receives, again, something that never ends. And the idea that every single time that we send salawat and salutations upon the Prophet of God, وسلم, his station and his status elevates. That we have ahadith founded within Kitab al-Kafi, for instance, that state that the deeds of all of the believers, they are given to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as he is a witness over every single one of us and over every single one of the previous prophets. In our prayers, we state, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We send salutations upon the Prophet. Peace and everlasting blessings be upon him. And literally, what do we say? We say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Oh Allah, bless Muhammad and his family. That our blessings or our request is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send his blessings upon the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And what do we know about how many blessings descend upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And what reward also we get for that link that we create? Salawat comes from the root word salli. Salli means to pray, of course. Sad and lam. Sal. Which means literally to connect. We call it silatul arham, to build that relationship between, kin, between family, between relatives, between blood relatives. Silatul arham. It means that we're building out this connection between us and the Prophet and Ahlul Bayt, peace and blessings be upon. وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. And that yours indeed will be an everlasting. Every time again we pray, every time we perform the pilgrimage, we have this principle, like we know, known as sadaqatul jariyah. That when you give a piece of charity, be it wealth, be it property, be it whatever, in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a reward that you will continue to benefit from as long as people are utilizing that wealth. You give money, for instance, to a mosque, you donate it. Every time someone prays in that mosque, you receive a portion, you receive a share of the reward of that individual who even prayed. How about the teacher of prayers? That's the messenger of God, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How about the teacher of the Hajj, the one who taught us how to fast, the one who taught us virtually and took us out of darkness into light? Every time we do good, it goes back to the Prophet of God, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, these words of consolation. You know, and sometimes when we go to these verses and we reflect a little bit in regards to that which the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam had to endure during the course of his life, it also offers us a sense of consolation for us to remember that they, meaning all of the prophets of God, went through real hardship. They went through real difficulties and challenges. Ahlul Bayt, alayhim as-salam, peace and blessings be upon them, the holy household. Of course, they were massacred, be it Ali or Hassan, Hussein. All of the Imams from the progeny of Ahlul Bayt, the hardship that they all had to endure. And what we see as well is that when someone is on the truth and they have that sense of love and support that they feel from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course it takes us a long way. And we should also know consistently that when we are on the right, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will always have our back. He will always be there to support us. And even when we fall and even when we make mistakes. مَا أَنْتَ بِنَأْمَةَ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. And in verse number 4, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَإِنَّكَ لَأَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And indeed, you possess this great character. What is that which makes the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam unique? Was this impeccable etiquette, even with those who treated him harshly. Even with those who treated him poorly, it was the Prophet of God sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who would emanate such love to them in ways that we could never imagine, that we could never perceive. And that's what's so incredible about the Prophet of God, that so many came to Islam. So many saw the light of this religion just by means of the way that the Prophet of God, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, would communicate with them. The way that he would talk to them, the way that he would listen to them, even again amongst his enemies. Inshallah ta'ala, next Thursday evening, we'll have the opportunity to reflect upon verses 4, 5, and 6, inshallah ta'ala. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahumma ala Sayyidina wa Nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala al-Tayyibin al-Tahirin.
If you would like to listen to more, please donate to www.icnyu.org/donate. For more of our virtual programs, go to www.icnyu.org/classes. If you have any questions, email us at info@icnyu.org.